DGS. Dave will be back on Monday. We've got Cardinals baseball coming your way tonight. We'll wrap up the first. It's not really the first half, but we call it the first half. We wrap up the pre-All-Star portion of the schedule. It's just faster to say half. Wrap up the first half with a four-game series against the Cubs, and then off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week. And I understand that Major League Baseball is taking those days off because Matt Pauly is taking those days off. Is that correct, Matt?
I think it works out that way, yeah. Me and Robbie Manfred had a little conversation, and I told him, you know what? I need a few days off, so let's
and they're
just,
like, you know what?
Games.
We'll take days off for you.
Yes.
Well, I know you'll enjoy it. A lot of people who cover baseball take advantage of that break, and it's a smart thing to do because baseball season's a long season.
It is. I have taken the All-Star break off every year that I have covered baseball except for 2 years ago when I was moving to St. Louis, and my first day at KMOX was the first day of the All-Star break.
That's cool.
Very nice.
That's a nice little Matt Pauly fun fact.
Yeah,
there.
Fun
there
fact. Go. Good times. Good times. All right, so let's talk Cards Cubs. Cubs still haven't announced starters for tomorrow's doubleheader, which is a little weird. But the Cardinals are set. They've got their four veteran starters going. And, you know, it would be nice to win this series. I think a split would be fine, though.
Yeah. The four-game series, it's tough to win them. And it doesn't matter who you play against. If you win a four-game series, it's a good thing. If you split, it's all right. We do know that Hayden Wesneski is going to start at least one of the two games tomorrow for the Cubs, but we don't know who's going to start the other. And the Cardinals have also not said between Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson who's going to start game one and who's going to start game two tomorrow. So there's a little playfulness going on right now between the two teams.
Yeah, again, in the end, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you're going to get the same kind, the same people. It's just a matter of when they decide which order they're going to want to go. When you look at this kind of lead up to the break, Matt, the first half has been a mixed bag. The first part of it, the first month and a half was pretty awful. A lot of things went wrong. A lot of guys got hurt. A lot of underperforming. The time since then, the 2 months since then, have been a lot better. But you're still not getting what you wanted to get from some of your key veterans.
Yeah, the two, right? Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. They've showed moments of being better. Arenado's kind of on a good streak right now. Goldschmidt's number in July, he's got like a 750 OPS, which isn't great, but it's not an end of the world sort of thing.
Yeah.
They're the guys that are supposed to be your middle-of-the-order run producers. Now, that being said, if that's not who they're going to be and you can still get something out of them, then you just accept that and you move on and you look at this team and say, okay, from an offensive standpoint, they're going to be led by Alec Burleson and Wilson Contreras and Brendan Donovan and Mason Wynn. And if they can keep winning games like they've been winning since May 12th, that's okay.
That's the goal, right? I mean, like, this is something that I think you and I have talked about on and off the air, but I like to repeat it because it's an important thing for people who aren't as nerdy as us to just kind of keep in mind that, when a team is struggling, it amplifies the struggles of individuals, right? When the team is in a bad place and Arenado, Goldschmidt, whoever, Lance Lynn, whoever, when they're struggling themselves, that amps up the coverage of it, the conversation about it. But when you're winning, it really, even when that's not necessarily turning for the better or when you're not getting those contributions, it doesn't matter when you're winning. You can live with somebody trying to figure things out on the fly as long as you're adding W's to the win column.
Yeah, I always say, stuff doesn't matter until it matters. And that's the point that I'm making. And what you just said is if somebody is really struggling but you're still winning games, then it doesn't matter. Now, if you start losing games, then the struggles of everybody is amplified and you need guys to step up so you can start winning games. But this is a business about winning and losing. And sometimes if you can survive somebody's struggles and allow them to work through something, it's going to help you win more games later. You just need to make sure that it doesn't cost you winning games.
Right.
Now.
And when you look at, like, use last year as an example, when they made the decision originally to send Jordan Walker down, they might not have done that if they were five games over 500. instead of, you know, in last place and really struggling. They might have been like, you know what, no, we can work through this here. We can keep going. And it was not that different from the decision this year. You know, he's struggling, Victor Scott is struggling, and we can't afford to just ride with that. We've got to change it. And if the season had started the way that it's gone for the last 2 months, it might not have gone the way that it did.
Yeah, but there's always that line where all of a sudden you cross that line and you go, okay, this just isn't good anymore. This guy's giving away at bats. This guy looks overmatched. He is no longer getting better. That's one thing when it comes to young players at the major league level. You can be overmatched at the big leagues, but if you're not going backwards, sometimes it's okay. But if you're going backwards and you're a really young player who's got a potential bright future, get that guy off the big league roster and get him down to the minor leagues and let him reset.
Yeah, and the truth is when a younger player is struggling the way that we're talking about, it's because they need to work on something, and working on things is very difficult to do at the major league level.
So I don't know how guys do it. Like, I just,
yeah, it's tough.
What I can't comprehend is the idea of you've always done something like the same way. Your body has done it thousands, if not millions of times.
Yep.
And then you're going to go work in the cage for 45 minutes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and try to take that into a game that night? Are you kidding me? Like, how do you tell your body to do that? I'm not a pro athlete. I've never been a pro athlete. But that is one of the things that is most impressive to me about athletes is the ability to move on from a body movement that you have basically been doing your entire life.
Yeah. But I mean, as you put it, nobody can just do it and then do it in a game. You practice it and you practice it and you practice it, and eventually it shows up in a game somewhere down the road. But it's hard for guys like, I mean, look how hard it's been for Nolan Arenado with a Hall of Fame career already underway. You know, like, he's already established essentially as a Hall of Famer, and it's tougher when you have less experience, which is why, you know, people keep asking, why is Walker down and other guys are not? Well, that's why, because he's young. And he needs to adjust and work on things, and it's hard to do at this level. It just makes it last longer, and pitching is so much better than it's ever been at any point in modern history when it comes to how hard people throw, what kind of pitches they throw, how they take advantage of your weaknesses. And, you know, when you're trying to make a physical change like you're talking about, in addition to dealing with that, I mean, good luck.
Yeah, this is also where the offseason is a really important thing, because at the end of the year, the organization's going to have conversations with every single hitter. And basically, they're going to kind of get a scouting report, and it's going to be homework. Hey, this is what you need to work on this offseason. Yeah. And if you don't go fix those things that the organization has told you you need to fix, you are not setting yourself up for a move forward the next year.
All right, let's change gears for a second. We haven't talked about this much, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But the first round of the draft is on Sunday, and the Cardinals are in a position that they have not been in a very long time. They're picking in the top 10. If I remembered it right, I know I saw this recently, but the last time they picked this high was like J.D. Drew, right? Like when they drafted him. So they don't pick here very often. This is a class that I'm not going to get too nerdy and boring, but it's basically a class where a lot of the draft analysts see 10, 11, maybe 12 really in the elite class, the top end. And the good news is the Cardinals fall in that window.
Yeah, and it is. It's a pretty top-heavy group, like you mentioned. I'd be lying to you if I told you that I'm completely locked in on who's going to be available. But I do look at these mock drafts. I don't even know how to is it Bryce Rainier or Bryce Rainer, the guy from Harvard Westlake, in California, which you've heard that before. That's a pretty famous school he's coming out of.
Yep.
That's the kid that seems to be most connected I've seen that of him connected to the Cardinals. I've seen some other folks as well.
Yeah, he's definitely one that I've seen in a number of the mock drafts. I've seen some people connect the left-hander out of Arkansas, Hagan Smith, but I'm not sure he's going to be there.
J.J. Weatherholt is a kid out of West Virginia who they've been connected to as well.
Yeah, if he slips, I mean, Weatherholt could go anywhere from like, it sounds like anywhere from like 2 or 3 all the way down to 10 or 11, 12. And if he hadn't had a hamstring injury this year, he might be the number one pick. So, you know, but if he slips, I mean, that's a pretty big deal because he could have been a contender for the number one spot. I would love it to be Chase Burns from Tennessee, but I don't think he's going to get there. Big right-hander, throws 100 miles an hour. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, you could probably see in the big leagues within a year and be a guy that's a front end. And this is why I wanted to bring it up with you, Matt, is more to get into this bigger picture thing. The Cardinals have done a good job over the years, over a long time, of consistently drafting and developing good players.
Yeah.
But it's been harder to find the stars, and it is harder to find the stars when you're picking 25, 26, 27, or whatever. It's not impossible, like Mike Trout was taken in the 20s, but it's much harder, much lower percentage. That's why this draft is so important, because you really have to get a star here, whether it's a power bat out of college like Nick Kurtz or Braden Montgomery or one of those big power arm pitchers, or maybe the tooled up shortstops that you're mentioning, Bryce Rainer and Connor Griffin. Like, you need a potential star here.
Absolutely. Cardinals fans should be hopeful that they're not picking this high very often. And when you get this opportunity to have a high draft pick, go use it and go find somebody that's going to be a big part of your team moving forward. Want to go super nerdy on you for just 1 second, Wheels? I still hate the fact that Major League Baseball changed the rules a few years back, because it used to be, you know, the Royals got to the World Series largely because they would draft a bunch of guys with signability issues,
and then
they would go way over slot on the money, and that was one way to even things out, because it's a lot cheaper to go sign a first-round talent.
It's an extra $400,000 versus an extra $40 million for a proven veteran. Yeah.
So when baseball changed those rules a few years back, that really bothered me, because I felt like it really hurt small market teams.
I also hate the draft lottery. It's the stupidest thing ever. I hate lotteries. It's wrong. If you want to tank intentionally and be terrible, that's fine, because it's a big risk. I don't think we should be like that worried about it. And by the way, it worked when people did it. I don't like the fact that a team can be basically pretty decent and pick number one.
Yep.
Not a big fan of that. It will be fascinating, though, because and the guy, and we'll close on this, the guy that I'm really interested in seeing where he goes and whether or not he could slip is Jack Caliendo out of Florida. So, I mean, he's a nonstop home run machine. He's huge. He's 6'5", 250. He probably, as a college hitter, falls into the Kyle Schwarber category. That's the kind of college hitter Schwarber was. He's that kind of guy. And he's also on the mound. He can reach 98 miles an hour. It doesn't sound like anyone thinks of him as a pitcher. But, boy, what the heck? It wouldn't hurt to have him as a guy that might be a relief pitcher and also a power hitter.
Best two-way player in college baseball this year, easily.
Yeah. And I think that kind of bat would be a lot of fun, because that dude is a pure power hitter.
I see one mock draft has him going to the White Sox, number 5. God save him if he ends up with the White Sox.
I know. I don't think he gets to the Cardinals, but, man, if he did, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Have a good night tonight. Looking forward to the pregame. So pregame 6:20, first pitch 7:15. And then after that, enjoy your week off, and we'll talk to you in a week.
All right, sounds great.
That's Matt Pauly here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX. DGS with Dave returning. The D and the G coming back on Monday. Cardinals and Cubs, as we mentioned, with Matt Pauly coming up at 7:15 tonight. What are you guys doing this weekend? You guys doing anything other than avoiding the heat?
I
know you're doing a birthday dinner tonight, so that's cool.
I might go to the fair tomorrow.
The fair? Nice. What fair?
Yeah, fair tomorrow or Sunday.
What fair?
The Jersey County Fair.
Oh, I didn't know there. I didn't know that was that.
They have a fair in Jersey County.
Nice.
It's like I guess it's not really a homecoming, right? It's not that, because that's in the fall.
Right.
But it's like a big
summer festival.
It's a big, I don't know, thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. They got pigs, cows, and such.
Rides and stuff?
Goats.
Goats. I don't know if
I
can ride the pig. I'm going to try.
No, I mean like rides, like, you know, carny rides.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I'm going for the pig.
You think they do?
I believe so.
The thing near me when I grew up, it was always around the 4th of July. It was always around this time. It was called the Spree.
Oh.
The Spree. We just all went to the Spree, and you would spend days there just wasting money, but having a blast. Like, how many funnel cakes can we eat in this 2 days period? We're going to eat them all.
Were there pigs?
There were no pigs.
Not interested.
No. I mean, like, we were more like city folk. But more like suburb, not suburb. It was like a suburban Spree.
So you don't know anyone who was in like the 4-H club?
What's that?
You've never heard of the 4-H club?
I don't think. Maybe.
I've heard of it. I'm not super familiar with what
it is. So it's kids can get involved, and a lot of times they'll like raise like a cow or something, and then they'll show it.
No.
I mean, I'm probably explaining it totally wrong, but being from Grafton, there were quite a few people that were involved in the 4-H.
Huh.
Activities.
Oh, cool. All right. No, I just Googled it. I know what it is now. I did not know anybody that was involved in it, though. I definitely heard of it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like Detroit area would be.
What are you suggesting?
The main.
What are you suggesting?
Okay, so we're all going to the fair tonight. What's your go-to fair snack? Because mine is
funnel cake.
Okay, funnel cake
with some kind of fruity topping. Like cherry or something.
Mm, I like a caramel apple.
Those are good.
Especially like it's not a fresh apple at all.
No, but the caramel's fresh.
The caramel
on there. They just
makes
put it
up
on there.
For everything. It's so good. What are you gonna get as
What's
a snack at the fair, Andrew?
Yeah, I might do some funnel cake. So I'm a late adopter to funnel cake. I didn't have funnel cake for years because it just didn't really look that appetizing to me. Mm. And my wife finally convinced me to try it because of course she's loved it her whole life. And
it's brilliant.
Wowzers! That stuff is something else.
It's good.
Stupid good.
So I will probably try and snag some funnel cake if they have that sort of thing.
What about
there.
A snow cone?
Yeah, I like a snow cone.
I'll tell you what, too. If I'm having if I need to eat dinner when I'm there, definitely going corn dog.
Oh yeah.
Those because they're like the real ones. Mm-hmm. Not I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some good ones at the store, things like that. But man, at the fairs, the corn dog is a killer.
Absolutely.
Massively overrated cotton candy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like cotton candy quite a bit, but it really is just spun sugar. Like, what am I doing to my body when I eat a pound of that?
Here's $10 for air.
I have an immense amount of cotton candy in my house right now.
Do you really?
Why?
I bought them for reasons I don't feel like disclosing, but I bought like a...
Hey, you're the one who brought it up.
My birthday night tonight.
A bunch of bags of them, and now I'm stuck with them.
Now, I like cotton candy.
So I've been slowly working through them, and let me tell you what. A little cotton candy goes a real long way.
So this is the cotton candy that comes in like the foil bag?
Yeah, think the blue foil bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like cotton candy. It's just, it's a lot for a little.
It's a lot for a little, and a little goes a very long way. Yeah. When you're staring down, maybe potentially eating two bags of cotton candy on consecutive nights.
Yeah. Ugh. So when you guys are at those things, when you're kids especially, were you more about the rides or the games?
I was more about the games and just being around other people and people watching. Okay, real quick, because we got to go to break. But when I was like 19, I went to a fair and I rode one of the rides and I got so sick I had to go home. I was I'm going to throw up all over everyone.
I was all over the Matterhorn, man. Get that thing spinning. Let me go.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.